Let's continue our worship this morning. Actually, you guys, what we'll be doing this morning is we're going to be continuing in Exodus. So actually, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, and we're only going to be looking at just a few verses this morning. It's Exodus chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. Let me read God's word first just to start us out. Exodus chapter 4, 18 through 21 says this: "Then Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, 'Let me go back to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive.' Jethro said, 'Go, I wish you well.' Now the Lord had said to Moses in Midian, 'Go back to Egypt, for all the men who wanted to kill you are dead.' So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hand. The Lord said to Moses, 'When you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go.'" This is the word of God. Let's open up in prayer. Father God, Lord, as we come to you this morning, just remind us of your, and help us to be aware of your presence in this room. Lord, you live in our hearts, and you are among us now. And so, Lord, we come to offer ourselves to you as worship. We come to offer our hearts to you to worship. So we want to know you. We want to know how you work and what you value. We want to know your character and who you are. So, Lord, as we look at your word this morning, I pray that you reveal yourself to us. As the pastor and the Chinese minister preaches your word, I pray that you reveal yourself to the church. Lord, show yourself and stir in us. Move in our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, well, there are times in our journey with the Lord where it may seem like God is silent, or God is inactive, or there might be times when you feel like God is absent from our lives. I don't know, maybe you've experienced this before. You just feel like, God, I don't know if God is out there, if he's working, if he's active, if he's, you know, if he's moving at all. And we even see this among the heroes of the Bible. Even David, King David. There are several times in the Psalms where David will call out. He's like, "Do not hide your face from me, God. Don't hide your face from me." He's kind of looking for God. He says, "Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails," in Psalm 143. And what I'm learning is, as I grow older in the Lord, is that the feelings will really come and go. Feelings will really come and go in your walk with God. There are days where my feeling is, man, God must be near. God is so near. I see God everywhere. You know, I can just see him working. And then there's other times when I feel like, wow, I don't know. You know, it doesn't feel like God is here. I feel really distant from God. I don't know. I don't see him active at all. There's times when I have like, I'm really like on a high with God. And then there's times when I'm just, you know, I just don't feel anything in particular with God right now. And so we started out last Sunday. We started out with this verse. Gordon, can you scroll down one? We started out with this verse last week. "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see." All right. So you can be certain in your life that there'll be times when you don't have that God feeling. All right. There's going to be times when you don't have that God feeling. But when I have that times, when I'm in those times, I'm like, hey, I can be sure of what we hope for, I tell myself, though I don't feel him, I can be certain of what I, sure of what I don't, what I hope for, and certain of what I don't see. I don't see you, God, but I know you're there. I know that you always have been. I know that you are now. I know you will be in the future. All right? Our feelings don't negate the fact that God was and is and always will be. And our feelings don't alter that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. It doesn't change with how we feel. But on the other hand, there's times when it is really clear that God is, he's active, that he's working. As I walk with him, there are times when I'm like, how can you not see that God is not working? How can you not understand that God is amazing and that he's wonderful and that he's active and that he's out there and that he is working now? Right? And I imagine that this is how Moses felt when God revealed him, God revealed himself to Moses at Mount Horeb, at the burning bush. We know that Moses, for much of his life, you know, again, he was 80. He was 80 years old when he first, like, had this burning bush experience where God was like, I will show you in a way I've never showed you before. He was 80 years old. But we do know that Moses kind of lived by this, by faith. In fact, it says, and again, in Hebrews, later in Hebrews, in chapter 11, it says, we know that by faith he left the Pharaoh's house because he didn't want to be, he didn't want the pleasures that he could have had at Pharaoh. He'd rather be walking with God than have, like, the pleasures that he could have had in Pharaoh's household. So we know that for much of his life, he's like, I know Yahweh. Yahweh is the term that the Hebrews would write down or call God. I know that he's active. I don't necessarily see him yet, but I may not have experienced like he would in his later life, but by faith, I know he's there. So I'm going to keep on walking with him. And it's the same with us, right? There's times in our lives when, man, I just know when I read God's word that I know that he is. This is who he is. He's telling me who he is. And by faith, I trust that he's there. All right? And so here's what we've seen so far. Gordon, can you go down one more slide? Here's what we've seen so far. All right? So we've seen that God is, he's working, right? He was with Moses. He was like, man, I see my people. I hear their cry. And I'm going to move them out. And we see that he began a relationship with Moses. Moses knew of God, but like God initiated a relationship with him. We saw that he invited Moses in. Moses, I want you to be a part of what I'm doing. I want you to join in on what I'm about to do. And then we saw that God spoke to Moses. And we talked last week, there are several ways we're like, how do I know? How do I know if God's speaking to me? How do I know? Because sometimes I get these impressions. Sometimes I think that God is talking to me. And I said a lot of times what we can do is, well, if it's in his word, sometimes what happens is you're reading God's word, people will come up to you and say things. And as you are reading God's word, it'll connect with what the church is saying to you. And as you're praying, God will speak to you. But it has to do with being connected with him. You have to be walking with him. You have to be walking with the Father, with the triune God. And then we saw a crisis of belief, right? We saw God go to Moses and say, Moses, I want you to go to the elders and tell them that we're going to move the people out for 3 days. And Moses had a couple of arguments against God, or not maybe against God, against following God. He said, one, no one's going to believe me. No one will believe me. And that might be the case with you as you walk with him and God impresses on your heart, God moves in your life, you see something happen, something big that he places in front of you. There may be times when people are like, or yourself is like, I don't believe it. And in this case, Moses is like, I don't think they're going to trust me. So God said, what's in your hand, Moses? A staff, and he gave him several different ways that he could show people that, no, this is legit. I am telling you this. And the people will believe me after you show them these these miracles, this power that I'm going to give to you, okay? And also his second objection was, look, I can't do this. I'm not a very good speaker, God. I stutter. I've never been eloquent. Ask somebody else to do this. But God said, no, Moses, it's not about what I'm asking. It's not what about you're able to do. It's what I'm able to do, right? So when God puts something large in your life, he will give you the power to be able to do it. But here comes the hard part for us, okay? Here comes the hard part, the challenging part for us. That is, if we want to, and I do want to say again, sometimes I feel like as I show this diagram, God is much bigger than this. Okay, God is bigger than this. I've shared with you before, I'm taking a lot of what I'm sharing with you out of this book, Experiencing God. But I just want to tell you that God is not a seven-step program. You can't just like go, okay, God's at work. You know, I'm in a relationship. You can't. God is much larger than this. God works in his own timing. And so it doesn't look like this all the time. I don't want to make this oversimplified, but it's just, I tell you this because I do believe that based on God's word, some of these principles are true. But God is just too complex. God is too wonderful to be kind of put into just a seven-step diagram, okay? But the truth is that whenever we see God working and when he puts something large in front of us and asks us something, he's a lot of times, in order for us to experience him, to see him, to see his power, to see him work, we have to make adjustments to our lives. We have to adjust ourselves to join in with God. Joining God requires adjustments, okay? Joining God in what he's doing requires adjustments in our lives. So let's take a look at the story. I've read it once, but it's like this. Moses is currently living in Midian, right? He's living in Midian. He is a shepherd. So I don't know. I've never been with shepherds. I mean, I don't know what their day is like, but you know, they're watching sheep all day and they're feeding sheep. They're shearing sheep. They're moving sheep around. And also Moses he's married. He's married to Zipporah. The scripture says he has a couple of sons. And so, I don't know, you guys, it's like this. It's like Moses is living in a life right now that he's been living in for quite some time. For a number of years, for several decades, he's been out in Midian. And so for you guys, it's like, hey, you guys are in Rochester Hills. You're in Troy. You're going to school. This is what you know, right? And it's like this life that we live pretty comfortably. God's blessed us very much with kind of a pretty steady life. But then God speaks to him and says, here's the deal. Here's what I'm doing. And I want you to be a part of what I'm doing. And so now, again, because he spoke to him, he's like, no way, God, I can't. I can't do this. Ask somebody else to do this. And God says, nah, no, I will provide. In fact, Moses, I will provide someone to speak for you, okay? If it's so much of a problem for you, I will grab someone to speak for you. Aaron is on his way, and he'll be happy to see you, and so I'll provide for you. And in fact, I will teach both you and Aaron what to say and what to do, right? And so he says, like, I'll provide everything for you, right? And so now we see that Moses is making adjustments to his life. When you hear God speak, when Moses hears God speak, he has a choice. He's got a choice in front of him. Do I just listen? Do I just ignore God and just go, I don't hear you. I'm just going to ignore that burning bush. I ignore your voice. I'm just going to do what I'd like to do. I'm just going to stay and be a shepherd with my wife in Midian with my kids. I'm just going to have a nice life here, right? Because it's no danger. There's no risk in it. There's nothing to it, right? I'm just going to make some wool clothes and sell my wool, you know, whatever, right? But he begins to make adjustments to his life. If you look with me, he starts out in 18. First thing he does, after he gets, God says, take this staff in your hand so you can perform the miraculous signs with it. Here comes the adjustment part. Moses is thinking. He sees God. He says, then Moses made a decision with his will, and as an act of his will, he went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, let me go back to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive. So he's like, Dad, father-in-law, look, I love you, man. I love you, Dad. But I'm going to take your daughter, and I'm going to take my kids, and we're moving, right? He's making an adjustment to his relationships. Making an adjustment to relationship. There was risk here. His father-in-law could have said, Moses, over my dead body, are you taking my daughter? And are you taking my grandsons to Egypt? Like, there's no way. All right? So he begins to, there's some adjustments that he begins to make. And Jethro says, go, and I wish you well. All right? And so for you guys, it is the same. There may be times when God is like, when God speaks to you, when God is talking to you, that he may be asking you to make adjustments in your relationships. It may be, I don't know, it may be with your parents. It may be with your friends. It may be with who you're dating. It may be with, you know, I don't know. When God is moving, he may be asking you to make adjustments in your relationships so that you can join in what he's doing. All right? He also makes adjustments to where he lives. Now the Lord had said to Moses and Midian, go back to Egypt for all the men I'd wanted to kill you as dead. So Moses took his wife, packed up his kids on a donkey, and started back to Egypt. Hey, Gordon, can you go to the next slide? All right. So here is Midian down here. This is what? This is Saudi Arabia. This is Egypt. And so this is where Moses is, and this is where he has to go to, right? So it is not like he's like, I want you to just go a few miles. He's not like saying, look, I want you guys just to swing over to Pontiac to serve what I have you to do. He's like saying, no, I want you to go to someplace. I want you to go to Mexico. I'm asking you to go to Taiwan, to China. I mean, Moses had been to Egypt before. That's where he came from. That's where he was born. But it is a long, long ways from where he's at currently. It's a long ways where he is at currently. So it would be like saying, look, I'm asking you, and who knows, maybe God might be asking you. I am asking you to go back to the place from your ancestors. I'm impressing on your heart to go back to China. I'm impressing on your heart to go back, not back, like maybe you were never born, you weren't born there, but I'm asking you to go where your ancestors were. Mine is Japan, you know, to go to China, to go to Taiwan, and I want you to preach the gospel there. There are lots of people who do not know me, and it is going to be hard. I mean, even God said, you're going to tell him this, and I'm going to harden his heart, but I want you to tell him this anyway. So he's like, Moses is making some large changes in his life. So here's what it is. Gordon, can you go down one more? Here's what it is. Whoops. Yeah. You can't stay where you are and go with God. All right? If you walk with the Lord long enough, you can't stay where you are and at the same time go with God. Now again, this may not mean, for you, it may not mean actually moving. It may not mean like this. I'm not saying this is a physical movement, like you can't worship God, you can't serve God, you can't listen, hear his voice and like stay here in, you know, here in Auburn Hills or in Rochester. But you can't stay with him. You can't stay where you are. Whether it be physically, whether it be relationally, whether it be your belief system, you cannot stay where you are and also join him in what he's doing. Noah, we have these examples throughout the Bible of this. All right? Noah could not continue his life as usual. Can you imagine someone asking you to build a giant boat when it has never rained? And like, he couldn't stay where he was at of just like doing life as usual and yet build the ark at the same time. Abraham was told, like, look up in the sky, Abraham. As many as the stars as you see, those are going to be your relatives. Those are going to be people from you. But I'm going to take you to this land. I want you to move from where you are and go to Canaan from Ur, and that's where it'll be. So Abram could not stay where he was and yet follow God, okay? Ruth cannot remain with her relatives and join God's people in Israel. David had to leave his sheep to become a king. Jonah, like, the group Israel hated, the people of Israel hated the Ninevites. They were like, oh, I can't stand the Ninevites, and they had good reason to. But Jonah had to, like, he couldn't stay where he was at. He had to kind of overcome what he'd been learned, what he'd been taught, and he had to go out to follow God. Esther, remember Esther's story? She could not remain like silent before the king and yet save her people. Remember that? What, you guys remember what Esther said? Do you remember the famous phrase that Esther had? Anyone? Esther? You guys know the story of Esther? Yeah, what did she say, like, right before she was going to go talk with the king? So I was like, don't call on me. Young, you know, what is it? Yeah, so Esther was like, hey, look, if I perish, if I go before the king, because you're not supposed to go before the king uninvited, and if I die, like, I die. But I can't, God's put me in this very spot today so that I can go talk with the king and save my people. This is why I exist. This is my purpose. This is what God placed me here for. And it can go on and on. Peter and Andrew, James and John had to leave their fishing business. Matthew had a lucrative tax. He was a tax collector. He had lots of money. He had to let that go. All right? And the best example we have is Jesus. Jesus, 2 Corinthians 2:8-9 says, for although he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. So Jesus, picture Jesus, I mean, there's the triune God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit together before time began. And Jesus had to, you know, make an adjustment. He had to, like, come down, make himself poor so that we might have his riches. Or in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was like, Lord, I see what you're wanting me to do. I don't want to do this. If there's any other way, take this cup from me. If there's any other way this can be done, take it away. But may your will be done and not my will, right? So let's look at an example. Flip over, if you would, to Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Flip over to Luke. Luke chapter 18. Let's look at an example of someone who Jesus had an interaction with, and instead of choosing to adjust, this person decides to walk away. All right? Luke 18, verse 18. A certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. Okay? So this guy approaches Jesus, you know? And so here's an opportunity. Here's an opportunity. And, you know, Jesus says, you know, here's what it is. Do not commit adultery. He shares some of the Ten Commandments. And the rich ruler, kind of in his ignorance, said, "Hey, you know what, Jesus? I've kept all the Ten Commandments. I've kept all these since I was a young boy." And I think in Jesus' mind, he probably was like, "Oh man, like, let's start with number one. Let's start with the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me." And when Jesus heard this, he said to them, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." So he's asking this guy to, like, "Hey, if you want to follow me, lay down your riches, lay down what is so important to you, and come and follow me." He tells him to, like, make a huge adjustment. If you want to join me, you're going to have to make a huge adjustment to your life. You're going to have to lay things down and to follow me. And so it's an example of a guy who heard from the Lord, who heard from God, and had an opportunity to experience, you know, the riches of knowing him, and instead of following him, chose not to adjust. Chose, I'd rather keep my riches and rather hold on to what I have. All right? And so for you guys, what would it mean to make an adjustment to your life? Gordon, can you go back a couple of slides? There you go, right there. What would it mean to make, like, an adjustment to your life? What is God speaking to you now? I mean, I guess, first of all, ultimately, it starts with God. It starts with God. But ultimately, it comes down to right now for you, where's your relationship with him? Like, are you tracking with him enough so that when he does speak, when he does talk with you and share with you, like, "I'm asking you to take a step of faith. I'm asking you to go out." Are you connected with him enough so that you can hear him? So you're like, "Yeah, I hear what you're saying to me. I'm like, as I'm reading, I'm hearing you say stuff. And as I'm worshiping, and as I'm in the community of God, I hear you saying things to me. I hear you pulling me this direction. I hear you moving in me." Are you connected to him enough to know what he's inviting you to do? What he's asking you to do? And then how many of you, if you knew that you could experience him? Because I know some of you, and myself, I'm like, I love it. I absolutely love it when I hear him speak. And I know that it's something's big in front of me. Something God-sized is in front of me. I feel like Moses. I feel like this is completely scary, or this is way bigger than me. But man, would you, if you knew that you could experience God, if you knew that you could see his power and experience him in a way that you've never experienced him before, would you be willing to make an adjustment to your life? Would you be willing to lay down something important to you? Like a dream. Like a goal, even. Something that's like, sometimes it's like, "No, my plans. But what about my plans, God? I've got plans." Would you be willing to lay down some of your plans or your dreams in order to experience him in a way you've never experienced him before and see what he would do? And see what he would do. And it doesn't, sometimes it's not, I've never been asked to lead a nation like Moses, and most of us have in here. So sometimes it is not like, it may not be something like, "Jimmy, I'm asking you to go in front of your school to be president of the school." No, to run for governor, it may not be something like this. But it might be something that God is asking you, that he's like saying, I want you to step out from where you are, and I'm asking you to follow me in this sense, just this sense. Today, I'm asking you to follow me today in this. But it's going to take some adjustment on your part. If you want to experience me, you're going to have to step out in faith. You're going to have to be uncomfortable outside of where you're at, so that you can see, have the opportunity to see me. And the cool thing about God is that he allows us, he gives us choice. Like, he gives us, like, I'm asking you, I'm telling you this is how I'm working. You don't have to. I want you to, because I want you to be a part of me. I want you to see me, right? Last week, a brother came up to me and said, you know, I feel like God has been asking me to give, to be more generous. And it's a test for him, actually, because he shared with me, I can share with you guys. He's not in a spot where he feels, you know, like, oh, I've just got savings. I've got everything around me. Everything's fine. He's in a spot in his life where, you know, he's to pay his bills, he's living paycheck to paycheck. But yet he feels God is like, has in his past few weeks, he's like, Brady, I wanted to share something with you after last week. He's like, I feel like God's been asking me to give more, to trust him more, even though I don't see my next job coming up, even though I don't see my next paychecks coming up. I feel like God's asking me to trust him, to step out and to give more. And so it's like, he's like in this spot, he's actually made adjustments. He's like, I'm going to step out and I'm going to give more, even though I don't see where it's going to come. And he's experienced God. He's like seen, he shared with me, like, this is some unique ways that God has provided for me. Ways I would never imagine on my own. Ways that I could never dream of on my own, God has provided for me. Or I've shared with you before how as I walked with the Lord, God would put opportunities for me to use my mouth to glorify God. So, like, opportunities to speak. And I've shared with you before, I remember in college, one of the staff said, like, Brady, I would like you to, there's multiple schools coming together for the spring conference, and I would like you to share your story of how you came to know the Lord at this spring conference. And I was like, no way. I don't want to. I'm not going to. And so I chose to, like, go, I heard God speaking to me, and I chose, like, I'm not going to. I don't want to do it. And but God was gracious with me, and he was like, but I'll give you another chance. And so I learned soon after, like, God was like, he gave me another, and I eventually came to the point where I was like, okay, God, anytime someone asks me to get up to share my story, like, I'll do it. I'll, like, get up and share. And God began to put, like, opportunities in my life to share. And the cool thing is I saw God speak through me. Like, it's almost like, it's weird, you guys. Sometimes it's like, God would speak, and it's almost like having an outer body experience. It's like God would speak and say things through me that I'm like, I didn't plan that, but God would speak through me. But the thing is that I had to make an adjustment. I had to make an adjustment in my heart and say, I'm open. If you want to, I'll do it. All right. So you can't stay where you're at. You can't stay where you're at and also join God. God will, if you walk with him long enough, he will ask you to move out of places that you're comfortable. And it may be your circumstances that you need to change. It may be like your job, your home. It may be relationships. It may be your thinking, your prejudices or plans. It may be your commitments. God may be asking you to commit more to this and commit less to this. It may be your actions. It may be your beliefs. God will move you out of that place of comfort because he wants you to join him in his work. So what I'd like to do this morning is give us some time, just a couple of minutes, just to meet with him yourself this morning. Just maybe 2 minutes of silence. And here's what I want you to ask God in your time of prayer. Maybe for you, it's more like, I need more of this because I don't hear you speaking, Lord. So I can't make any adjustments because I don't know what you're asking from me. So maybe for you, it's like, hey, this is where I'm at right now. And so for you, when you pray, when I give you a couple minutes, it's like, Lord, I just want to start walking with you. Show me how to walk with you and relate with you. For others, it's like, yeah, I'm reading in your word. I'm in prayer. I'm talking to you. But I haven't heard from you, God. I haven't heard something that you've told me. And so, Lord, would you speak to me even in these couple of minutes? And if there's something that you're desiring for me, impress it on my heart. Confirm it in your word. Confirm it in my circumstances. Confirm it in the church. And then I'll know what you're saying to me. And then for others of you, it might be like, hey, what is it that you're wanting me to adjust? You know, what do you want me to adjust in my life? Show me. I've heard you speak. I've heard you talk to me. So now tell me what I need to let go of. Is it my fear? Is it my pride? Is it my status? Is it, I don't know. What is it? So let's take 2 minutes and in silence and spend time with the Lord. Father, we know that 2 minutes, a minute and a half is not nearly enough time for us to be able to connect with you, to be able to, we know you're able to speak. But Lord, you desire for us to be close with you, intimate with you, in a relationship with you, walking with you. And we know that 2 minutes just doesn't do it justice. How many of us can have an interaction in 2 minutes? But Lord, we just want to come to you and just open ourselves up to you. Allow for you to move. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in us, would move in our church. I pray that if it's your will that our church, I'm not asking for a crisis of belief for our church, but I am asking that you might show us as a church something larger than ourselves. We already know that you've invited us to do your kingdom work. You've invited us as a part of the Great Commission to go and make disciples of the world. And we confess to you that often our view of you is much too small. It's much too small. So Lord, we come to you and we pray that you would enlarge in your view, our view of you. I pray that you would, if it be through trial, if it be through placing something in front of us that's huge, God, I pray that you move in our church, move in our city, and move on us as individuals so that we could truly experience you, how great you are. Your wisdom goes beyond. Your power is unfathomable. We have no idea how great you are, but we want a glimpse of it. We want a glimpse of you. Father, I pray that our hearts would be humble before you, because we're not able to see you if we're full of pride, if we feel like we have it all together, if we feel like we don't need you. So I pray that you humble us. We pray that we'd humble ourselves before you so that we could see you, your power, your beauty, your majesty. Give us a glimpse of you. Father, continue to pray for the college students. Pray for the freshmen who are going to be going off in a few days. Lord, I pray that again that you would show yourself in a fuller sense, a greater sense. Show yourself to them in ways that they have never seen before. Lord, teach us to pray. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.